Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast, Parking the Bus. I'm Palash. I have my friend Shiv Charan with me.
Hey guys.
So with Inter Milan creating history in Serie A, let's park the bus.
Yes.
So let's start with Inter Milan.
Yes, I guess.
Wait. We won't start with Inter. Let's start with you licking Antonio Conte's balls. Like every time some team apart from Juventus does something good, we start licking his balls. So, yeah, let's start with.
I mean, so Antonio Conte, right?
Yeah.
That guy is a machine, you know. He's one of the underrated managers. You know, no one actually rates Antonio Conte to be even, that great of a manager, because he was the one who actually started Juventus's, 9-year, 10-year run in 2011.
And he is the one who ended it.
He is the one who ended it. The irony of that is like so crazy. And the fact that he just wins titles after titles, being just in the second season of whichever club he's managing is not an easy task to do. And even in Chelsea, he did the same thing. And that is how I know him. But when I saw his history, he has been a manager who was capable of winning trophies. And last year too, he finished 1 point behind Juventus.
Yeah.
So we all knew he was close. And yeah. I think this year he had...
got the right signings, I guess.
Yeah, and this year, I think it was perfect, clear domination by one man, that is Romelu Lukaku, definitely, because he has been there for Inter Milan when the team wanted him to be, backing goals after goals after goals after goals. And Inter never failed to disappoint, because they were just winning 3-0, 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, 4-1. It was always a very easy victory. So, yeah, I think congratulations to Inter Milan for that.
Yeah, and the thing I would like to add with your thing, this year, Juve also didn't look like they were going to challenge.
Yes, agreed.
So, that actually played a good part, like big part in that.
I mean, see, I agree that the new manager, maybe everything, but the team remained the same. I agree that maybe the managerial side, it was not perfect. But the side, Juventus won last year, remained the same. It was just that Inter Milan were more focused. And from the beginning, we saw AC Milan too showing shades of how they used to play in the past. So next, if Ronaldo stays in Juventus, then I think the next race, next Scudetto race will not be one-sided like this year. Because it is going to be one hell of a race. And if, you know, do you think if Juventus fails to qualify for the Champions League, Ronaldo will stay?
Actually, the thing here is who affordability. The main question here comes is affordability. Who can afford Ronaldo at this point of time? Like, coronavirus has hit so badly that many clubs are fine. Well,
yeah.
And I'm not talking about like clubs let's say the Giants are in themselves financially unstable. Like if you look at Real Madrid, they're unstable. They can't afford him. Barcelona can't afford, like at this point of time, it will be a big, big, big achievement if Messi stays at Barcelona.
Yes.
So that how do I put this in words?
I mean, I understand what you're coming to say.
That itself is a big task.
Yeah, I agree. But I think Ronaldo would be, you know, what do you think will be Ronaldo's cost, you know, which Juventus will state? Because his contract is running over this season or next season, I'm supposing. So, with 1 year left in hand, what do you think Juventus will quote?
I guess around 80 million at least.
Yeah, I mean, it should be
more than that.
No, because they bought an
insane amount of. Yeah, I guess if they get 80 million for Ronaldo, like it will be less definitely because of this inflation thing and all.
Yes, and the fact that they will lose so much of fans, so much of shirt sales, so much of Instagram followers, so much of advertisements, they will lose a lot actually because I'm very sure 100 million for Ronaldo when they bought him would like without Real Madrid expecting itself, Juventus would have gathered another 100 million in a year because of the shirt sales and all those ads and everything because that is what Ronaldo is, you know, he's a very big public figure. So they will not sell him or let him go for lose. Like, I feel he should not be more than 80 million, but I wouldn't be surprised. It will be 120 million. I wouldn't be surprised if it will be 120 million by Juventus.
But I guess he won't, like, Juventus will qualify for the Champions League. That is something I'm thinking and I'm sure.
Okay. I mean, possibilities are high.
Yeah, because regardless of anything we say, Pirlo and all, but still, Juventus are Juventus at the end of the day.
Yes,
they have done it in past and all.
No, see, the table right now is that they are in the third place, all agreed, with the same amount of points as Inter Milan. But
yeah,
I think, you know, I think Juventus's next few matches have Sassuolo and Bologna and Inter and AC Milan.
Oh, I guess still, like, I trust Ronaldo's magic over anything. I guess he'll be the one who will.
I mean, the previous match two against Udinese, he scored two goals. And in the 93rd minute or something, he scored an amazing goal to put them in front and win the match. So I think Juventus will look to play alone around Ronaldo to just qualify for the Champions because Milan and Inter are there in their last four fixtures. So, you never know, right? You know, what would happen. I mean, it is obviously...
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So, from this, one title is sorted. Let's come to another title that is not sorted and it looks like it's going to be a hell of the title race. That is La Liga. So, I've been following a lot of La Liga in past few weeks.
Okay.
Barcelona had a chance last to last match to clinch that top spot, but Barcelona bottled the one goal lead, and it was clearly looking like the amount of pressure that Barcelona players were having. Like at first, when they scored first goal, it was looking like they are Barcelona, Barcelona is back and all. But then what happened is, I don't know the word for it. Like, I don't know what word to use for it. But it was not a good display from Barcelona. But yeah, last match, Valencia, they scored, missed a penalty, then scored a beautiful free kick. And Barcelona managed to win that game to remain in the title race. Atletico managed to win 1-0 to remain in the title race. Real Madrid managed to win the game to remain in the title race, and Sevilla, again, a huge shout out to them. I'm sure they might not be able to win this time, but they are playing some good football.
I mean, I think they have already pretty much confirmed that they will stay in the top four because the point difference of the first four and the fifth club, it's really, really huge, you know.
So 20 points.
Yeah, so I mean, the top four has already been confirmed. It's just that, you know, who stays in the top three is what is important because you never know who will come down, who will go up.
Wins it? Like, the main thing here now is wins it.
It could be an upset when, you know, if Atletico Madrid just continues to win all the four matches 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, it would obviously title because they have taken the early lead. But one drop they do and it is over.
Now,
the
interesting part now is Atletico has to play Barcelona and Sevilla has to play Real Madrid.
Oh my god. Okay, I didn't know this. So, when is this match?
I guess this weekend is Atletico Barcelona I'm not sure of the dates. So, but yeah, this is like, this is coming. Yeah, this weekend is Atletico, Barcelona against Atletico, and this weekend itself, like Saturday is Barcelona against Atletico at Camp Nou, and Madrid against Sevilla on Monday night.
My goodness, Madrid are going through one hell of a week then, because you know tomorrow, Madrid are going to know if they're going to go to, if they are going to the finals, and the weekend they are going to know if they're going to win the title. So it's going to be a hell of a weekend.
A hell of a weekend, and it has been going on like for them since, I guess, Liverpool's game, if I'm not wrong, because for Liverpool game also, they played Liverpool, then Barcelona, then Liverpool, then a clinch of easy fixtures, but there they had injuries.
Yes.
So for Real Madrid, it's like if Ramos manages to win.
Ramos. I think we will see a different Madrid from. Excuse me.
Hopefully.
Yes, let's see. I mean, wow. Amazing title race.
Yeah. So, let's see who wins this title. We'll keep you updated. Now, let's move on to the Champions League. So, tomorrow is the day. Today, I guess, is PSG against Man City.
Yes.
Who wins it? Actually, the thing is, manages to win 1-0 also, Man City are going through. So yes, PSG have to score 2 goals.
Exactly.
And for PSG to score 2, for front 3 of Neymar, Mbappe and Di Maria has to work.
Exactly.
And they have to work in first half.
Yes, exactly.
Because if Man City manages to score first goal, then like Man City can just pull off what they pull off in PL, Premier League.
Yeah, because they are pretty amazing in 1-0 victories, and their defense is not very easy to penetrate also.
Exactly. So, the first half of today's game is going to be very interesting, and I'm sure PSG will come with some new plan.
Yes. And who do you think will win? You know, who's going to be the victor?
I personally PSG to win. Because I don't want any Premier League club to win Champions League for some various reasons. But yeah, I personally want PSG to win. But I think so now it's very difficult for them to qualify for the further rounds.
If they qualify, they deserve it the most, because they've been the most amazing club in the Champions League, because they've faced Bayern Munich, they faced Barcelona. And, you know, they've had a pretty difficult set of fixtures. So, if they by chance overcome Man City, then that would be the story of their life, because that is what everyone would want. But I still, according to me, I feel Man City are actually, you know, cruising through today. Because I feel I'm seeing a 2-1 victory or even 2-0 victory by Man City. Because Man City somehow will bring out the best of them today, and you never know what Pep Guardiola thinks, because he is a mastermind, and him out,
but
you know, it has been not a difficult thing for him in the past.
But the thing with this game is, this fixture particularly is, first of all, you never know what side of Mbappe and Neymar will come out. Like, if Mbappe and Neymar just comes out like what they are, PSG can run a riot there, like serious riot. Like last match, if you remember, in the first half, João Cancelo was on his feet. In the first half, Di Maria was just playing with him. In second half, I don't know what happened, what Pochettino told PSG, like they just switched off. But in first half, it wasn't looking like Man City can even score a goal there.
And both those goals which Man City scored weren't the most amazing Champions League goals and all, okay? It was super amazing PSG mistake.
First one was pure luck, I'll say. Luck.
Yeah, luck. Totally luck. And I wouldn't go as far to say that Man City did not deserve it, because they were knocking on the door after time after time after time. And I mean, you are bound to make mistakes, and you know, I think the team did not respond well to Man City's and it, the goal, mm-hmm. and the second goal is a pure mistake by PSG. Yeah. It shouldn't, mm-hmm. like the whole point of the wall is broken, and you know, I guess it happened, but I feel today it is Man City who's going to win.
Let's see, actually, who knows? Yeah. Like, in past, there have been some good games and good Champions League comebacks, I will say.
This can
surely be one of those.
Maybe.
But if Man City loses today,
mm.
I will say Pep Guardiola should resign seriously. Because what else do you need in your team now?
No, the thing is, if the case of if exists always, but all I'm saying is, my mind wouldn't be even ready. Man City are going to lose today because I'm like literally so sure, like how, like I feel I am very sure that Man City are literally cruising because the way that Pep Guardiola thinks and the way this season in the Champions League, that amount of seriousness, I've not seen him ever anywhere else because he's pretty much even drew or lost the weeks he had Champions League games because that is
how
much he concentrates on the Champions League games more than the Premier League games. So I feel the Champions League, he wouldn't stop until he brings it home. And I like even Aguero has resigned, you know, retired this season. So I think even Man City players have the trophy to Aguero and, you know, I feel they have a lot more
drive. This exactly is my fear.
Yeah. Let's see.
I'm pretty, like, you know, sometimes your team is not playing, but you are more excited about other teams. This is one of those games. And tomorrow also, like, seriously, I'm so excited about Chelsea. Like, if Chelsea seriously manages to win tomorrow, I'm not even joking. Like, seriously, and this is a Chelsea team, seriously, without in-form players. Like, you bought in Kai Havertz, Timo Werner to score. And they did to score, but...
very, very badly.
Yeah. But, I mean... You getting my point?
Yeah, I mean, have no words because I feel that, we do not have the advantage in the game. I will not tell that because we definitely match the 0-0 because how much ever you try, Real Madrid are going to score. For sure going to score. And
no, but the thing in this game is even you will score.
Yeah.
Even if Ramos was there in last game, you tell me the first goal which Pulisic scored.
Yeah.
So
it would have gone, yes.
Yeah. And apart from that, if you ask me personally, I don't think so. Like if Zidane changes his plans, which he will definitely change, I guess Modric won't play as a winger to press, I guess, who's Chilwell and all.
Meaning, obviously, as a Chelsea fan right now, Chelsea Twitter is bursting with more Real Madrid news. So, there is right now two injuries with Madrid. And Ramos is back, Hazard is back, but with two injuries. Rafael Varane out and...
Varane is injured. And?
What's that midfielder's name? My God, I forgot his name.
Cruz.
I think Casemiro, Vasquez. Modric. Vasquez.
Lucas Vasquez. Okay, he was injured in previous leg also.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Vasquez. Okay, wait. I forgot the other player, but I think one more midfielder played the last match. Who played the last match is injured. The five. I forgot the name, but you know...
Eder. No, sorry. Eder was center back. Okay. The right back who played as right back.
Not Militao.
Not Eder Militao, obviously not Eder Militao. The guy who played as a right back for Real Madrid, he got injured in the first half also. I forgot.
Yes.
The Carvajal.
Yes, exactly. Carvajal is injured.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think Real Madrid are
but
definitely
these
going
two
for
are not as huge as these two are not huge as, and I'm
no.
not sure. I'm pretty sure. Like
I'm saying that Real Madrid are definitely going for a 4-3-3 formation.
Yeah. That's what I was also going to say.
Because obviously, with Hazard back, they could play Hazard, Vinicius, and Benzema forward. With, you know, Cruz, Casemiro, Modric, Ramos, Nacho, Militao, and probably even Marcelo behind.
Yeah, Marcelo can play as a left back. Nacho
can
play as a false. Like, I guess they'll go for a more of a 3-4-3 rather than 3.
Mm.
Like it depends, actually.
So, I'm very sure Chelsea are going full defensive this match. I'm very sure. And
but I would not like that. You know, this is... Like, which match? This Tuchel did also, I don't remember which game. Before lockdown, when Tuchel was PSG's manager, whom did PSG beat last season?
Leipzig.
Not Leipzig. Before that, in quarterfinals, before round of 16.
Oh my god. PSG. I'm not sure.
I'll have to go little back. Wait a sec. Dortmund.
Okay.
Remember the first leg of Dortmund?
Mm.
PSG versus Dortmund. In that when Haaland scored 2.
Yes.
Yeah. So in that leg, I clearly remember Tuchel did a mistake in that game. And it was not normal PSG which was playing. Like, that he was criticized a lot for that, and after that he improved his squad in the second leg and it just delivered.
Mm.
So I'm just saying that Tuchel should not do the same mistake again. He should go offensive for me. Like, because if Real Madrid manages to score one goal, like literally the whole tie will be out of your hand. Because
yeah.
But I don't think so. Tuchel will do the mistake. He'll also understand these kind of situations.
And in the press conference, actually, Tuchel has told something, and the Chelsea fans have read into lines. Obviously, it was meant as a joke. But I felt even Chelsea fans have felt that actually it is a hint he dropped, because one of the journalist asked Tuchel what.
Mm.
Countermeasures do you have for Sergio Ramos? And
mm.
he replied by saying, maybe we play with no striker at all. Maybe Ramos has no one to play against. What will Ramos do then? So it was just like a joke. He laughed and told it. But then I think right now, Chelsea fans, even in Twitter, are like, we are going to play a false nine. Because
can happen.
It can
like,
happen.
It will be
yes. But
Mount as number 10 proper.
Mm. So I'm saying anything is possible, because false nine is something Tuchel has not yet done in Chelsea till now, because we have a load of striker options.
But
so
who will
he's not yet
like
tried...
come inside your squad? I guess Billy Gilmore will come as a midfielder then.
No, I feel the Kante, Jorginho is pivot is
Kante,
fixed.
Jorginho is fixed.
Yes, and
apart
I feel
from that,
Ziyech will play.
Ziyech is more of a winger, right winger.
Yes, but I feel if Pulisic, if Pulisic and Werner can play in the left hand side, and he can switch to the middle whenever he is asked to. I know, right? Because anything can happen. Even Callum and Sonoda is on bench.
No, but I feel like if you are going for a false nine, then Mount should be the one who is the number 10.
Yes, that is definitely for sure. Like, I am saying that there's also a very clear possibility of not Timo Werner not even starting and Kai Havertz playing.
That actually will be good for you. Like, that, I guess, no, that will not be good for you. Hear me out here. Because...
I'm sorry? Yeah.
Yeah, because Timo Werner has one thing that Ramos, neither Ramos or Eder Militao possesses, that is speed.
Yes, agreed.
If you play Kai Havertz there, Ramos has played Diego Costa or even worse.
Yes.
And Ramos has always outclassed all those. Like, I'm not saying just him. I'm even saying one of the best, like Lewandowski's in previous seasons, if you remember two or three seasons back when they played. Even against Spurs, like Harry Kane was not visible when Ramos is around. Like, it's like that. I'm just saying like that.
I agree.
So, if you play Kai Havertz there, he's going to be like a ghost.
Yeah, I mean, he's already in the Premier League matches itself invincible half the time. So, I can imagine how Ramos would treat him.
Yeah, and in Eder Militao also is not a easy, like, easy guy.
Agreed. Totally agreed.
Yeah.
We'll see, I guess.
Let's see. So, your predictions? I guess you should back Chelsea this time. Like, just go for it. If it was Spurs, I would have said confidently 3-0 Spurs. Like, just go for it.
Seriously, cannot do that.
No, like, for our League Cup final, when I was in my mind, I knew that we are going to lose. But if someone would have asked me, I would have confidently said, okay, because we have reached so far and these guys deserve something, or if they don't even deserve something, let's back our team. So for that purpose, I would have said, so you should also back
that with the thing why I am not ready to back my team going to the finals right now is that we have come a long way, I guess. I totally agree. Semi-finals is a really long way in the Champions League and it is not easy at all. And the fact that my team has reached so far with such an unstable squad, you know, the chemistry hasn't even been built yet between players, because you have only few players play with each other very well, bond very well. And the fact that our squad has done this in their first season with, you know, Timo Werner, Kai Havertz, Ben Chilwell, Thiago Silva, and, you know, so much of new signings. Hakim Ziyech, so much of new signings, somehow bonding together, somehow scoring Champions League goals, and, you know, getting us this far itself is huge for me. But I feel right now, the hard fact to accept is that we are the weakest team in the Champions League right now. And Real Madrid are not an easy team to face, at least in the Champions League. I do not know about La Liga. So, like, how much ever I want Chelsea to win, my conscience says that, you know, Real Madrid are actually going to win today. Tomorrow, whatever. So, I will obviously be backing Chelsea. But I feel Real Madrid can get out the edge and Man City finals.
Oh, God, I would love that. Or not love also, I don't football. Want to see Man City for some reason, like, seriously.
Football has been taken over by bald men.
Yeah, can be said like that.
Yes.
Plus, if our fans, you know, like from a Spurs fans perspective, I'll tell you one thing. My on Reddit and all, people were saying if Pochettino loses today, and if PSG is not able to win French League One, then they should sack him and we should rehire him.
I would be okay with that. To be honest, I would bring back Pochettino.
No, I won't. Because the thing is, if you can't go and win in French League One with PSG. Although, like, people say that he got half a season. But half a season, things can change. And you are PSG for a reason.
Exactly.
And Mbappe has, like, injury worries. That is one thing. Pochettino told in the press conference, I saw that, he'll do anything to bring Mbappe on the pitch. So, maybe he'll eat some medicines and be there. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, anything is possible.
Yeah, so from this, let's park the bus to our last station, that is Premier League.
Yeah.
So, 10 men Southampton drew with Leicester City.
That was a real surprise.
And Leicester City has quite a tough run of fixtures now.
Yes.
Will be very, very interesting.
And they also have the FA Cup final to add on to it.
Yeah. And a defeat in that final, I'm pretty sure Chelsea are winning it because of Tuchel has taken over since. I'm sure they are winning it, but that a defeat in that final can mean a lot to this bunch of players.
And the thing is that they after the final, immediately the next Premier League match is again Chelsea versus Leicester City.
Yes, and in next 3 days they play Spurs.
Oh my God!
And before,
I think Leicester are the ones who are going to decide the top four. Like literally decide who's going to be in the top four.
Oh yeah.
Because they win matches, the other team gets out of top four. They lose matches, they get out of top four.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure. That is the deal at the moment. Like
yes,
even West Ham are there in the fighting, and West Ham have easy run of fixtures comparatively.
Yes, compared to others, yes.
And I just even drop points, like draw a game. And I'm sure West Ham will draw a game against Everton, which they are going to play next. I just wish somehow some miracle happens and West Ham drop points.
Let's see.
Man City did usual business against Crystal Palace, and Brighton and Chelsea. Brighton defeated Leeds United. That is a victory for Graham Potter.
Yes.
Some victory. Chelsea defeated Fulham. Everton lost to Aston Villa. So Everton are bottling the chances of finishing in top four.
Yes. Top six itself.
Yeah.
Mm.
Arsenal won against Newcastle.
Yes.
And, yeah.
A very easy win for them, actually. I saw the match. Yeah.
Actually, in this game, Newcastle didn't have their main man.
Oh, they didn't. I mean, I didn't know that Saint Maxim didn't play.
No, Willock.
Oh, okay.
For past 2-3 games against Spurs, also he came. He scored the equalizer against Liverpool. He came.
I think Willock is on loan, so I don't think he can play against Arsenal.
Yeah, he can't.
Yeah.
Willock wasn't there. And Spurs won 4-0 against Sheffield United. Gareth Bale hat-trick.
Wow. I mean, all the three goals were from outside the box. I mean, the first goal was a beautiful goal, and the other two goals from outside the box were really good ones.
Yeah, and Gareth Bale, Mourinho was being sort of stubborn by not using him because he can't defend, but I would have loved Gareth Bale. I seriously not. If we get an attacking manager, I would love Gareth Bale to extend his one more season contract. Like, not the Sun, Kane, Bale, the thing which just has started and which started a few months back also can be a thing for us.
Yeah, I mean, let's see, I guess, you know.
Yeah, and Sheffield United, I won't lie, they're not a good defense also. Last season, Sheffield United were a team that you can just knock. Even Man City, it will be very difficult for them to score. But this season, Sheffield United, I don't know what happened to them. I predicted it. I clearly remember I predicted Sheffield United to get relegated and people laughed.
Yeah, including me. I will agree there.
Because the way they started playing in the second half of the last season, the last best game, after that, the kind of decline that they had. Like, it was because the way they counter attacked against Spurs, that potential. But then I followed that team, and after 5 games, I was like, this team will get relegated. So, yeah, and West Ham won against Burnley.
Yes.
So, and yeah, now the big push, the big picture, Man United versus Liverpool got postponed.
Yes, due to protest from Man U fans. Sure. And the thing which I was a little surprised about is that no Man U fan, you know, I knew of, were even telling this protest is a mistake, or the match shouldn't have been postponed. No fan even told, and no Liverpool fan also bothered, because I think Man U have reached that kind of a saturation point that they are pretty clear on what they stand for, and they clearly want the Glazers out. And
but
I think as a Man U fan, I would have
like
Yeah, you were saying?
But do you think Glazers or Kroenkes or even for Spurs, the Enoch group, they are going to sell the clubs because just because the fans are protesting? If Man U or Arsenal wins Europa League, fans will celebrate rather than protesting.
Yeah, see, the thing is that I was actually reading why Man U fans want Glazers out. The Glazers
for 16 years, they have been exploited and 1 billion they have taken from the club.
Exactly, 1.5 billion has been taken from the club. And they have not actually put in one penny of their money into the club. They have just taken money. They've literally spent a little of what the club gives them. And which is wrong.
And these people are not aware of what football actually is. For them, it's a soccer, first of all. And second of all, I remember I saw Glazer's interview recently. Not recently, he gave it 2 years back. And he was like, I just came to know about what is offside 3 days back.
And so, I mean, that shouldn't be the state of football, you know. All the fans are asking for is for owner to love the club. And
but it is, I'll say something that I would love to hear your views also. Just hear me out here. I feel like it is more of a jealousy than that, because Man U is the second most spending club in the Premier League, and I guess third most spend, like the club who has spent the third most in the whole world.
Okay.
In past 10 years.
All right.
They have brought in Alexis Sanchez at mad wages. Paul Pogba at mad wages. David De Gea, the keeper, is at mad wages.
Okay.
They spend when they want. They spend big. They spent 80 million on a 40 million defender. They change their managers from time to time in order to win stuff. Okay. No one can be, and no one will ever intimate, I don't know what's the word, but in show what Alex Ferguson did, Sir Alex Ferguson did. No manager can ever, even Pep Guardiola, I don't think so, he can be Sir Alex Ferguson. Rodgers and all also, he can't be, you cannot be that guy. So, it's like, you see Man City, you see Chelsea. Like, for Arsenal, it's Chelsea, and for us also, it's Chelsea and Man City. Like, we see your club spending, your owners being passionate and talking about
as a club
to spend this season, they're going to have a good summer, I've heard. Like, they're going to spend big. But when you see these clubs spending and your club not spending and your owners not showing as much interest as their clubs, then this thing arises. Because for Arsenal also, if you look at that, they bought in 50 million Partey. They bought in Nicolas.
Mad contract.
After he got renewed, I didn't see that Aubameyang who used to be there. For us, the story is altogether different. Like for us, our owner is seriously, I don't know what he's thinking. Like he sacks a manager 1 week before club final in order to avoid him, with bonus and all. This and all is next level. For us, I understand, because we don't spend also. This summer, we bought in 8 players, 7 players, I don't know how many, but our total expenditure was 60 million. Or 70 million. And Chelsea bought Havertz for 80 million. So that's it's more of a jealousy thing for me. I guess the fans are jealous.
You could call it jealousy, but more than jealousy, right? This is all about... Man U spends more. Okay, Man U for the last 10 years has spent a lot. Agreed, but they at least minimum have 20% more fans than Chelsea, and I will have to accept that. Okay, there is no going behind. 20% more fans for Man U, and their shirt sales maybe are better than Chelsea. They are they clearly are a bigger club than Chelsea. I will have to agree the fact. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all I think Man U fans are asking for is for a little more passion from the owner, so that they feel that, they could receive the, if Man U wanted, Jadon Sancho last season. They definitely could have. I know they had the money. I know they had the money.
And they will get him. They will get him.
They will get him. But why should it always be one season delay, one season delay, one season delay, one season delay?
Yeah, that I'll accept. And also, I remember Man U fans, if they listen to this, they'll be like, oh, but you don't remember about Mourinho. Mourinho, in his last and second last season, when he finished second with Man United, he kept on saying that, I'm not being backed, I'm not being backed. Every yes. press conference, he used to say this.
Yes.
I'm not being backed.
And every manager right now, I feel, you know, it is not the right word to use, but I'm still going to use it, you know. I have been spoiled a little, you know, every manager right now, because they are going to come from clubs which have been investing in them. And when they see clubs which don't invest in them, they are a bit, you know...
disagree with you. Spurs manager is a 29-year-old guy right now.
No, right now, I mean, it's an interim manager. So, forget about that, you know. Forget about that, because he's an interim manager. And, you know, not every manager, at least most of them, which are being hired by big clubs, you know,
Yeah.
Have been a little spoiled, but have seen what money can do.
But do you want results? You have to.
Agreed. Yes, exactly. That. Like, exactly.
I will go to Fernandes from this Man United. I am sure they'll be fighting for top four.
Yes, I totally agree. All I'm saying is that Man U can buy players, and the fact that this Glazers. Were the ones responsible for the Super League, I think, caused a little more rift between the fans and the owners. And obviously, like you said, a jealousy issue is when Roman Abramovich and Man City's owner literally told, you know, we do not need the Super League, and just came out of it. And then Man U had to follow. Obviously, the fans would have been a little pissed inside. They would not tell it outside. And this maybe the Man U fans hearing this podcast would understand it inside, because they are definitely jealous, or not jealous, they are definitely expecting a more passionate owner, probably like Chelsea, probably like Man City. Just that they don't want their owners to rat out on their own club, not rat out on their own fans. So
also, if I'll tell you, like, for this shirt sales and all, the money conversion thing, I will say Daniel Levy is the best in the world. Like, seriously, we don't have that kind of fans that Man U has. Like, I see Man U groups having, like, there are three Man U Spurs groups, Man U groups in Gujarat. And we have a Gujarat Spurs group which has 40 people. Literally 40. Wow. Like, on fingers, we can, I know guys by, like, faces. And there are three groups in for Man United. So, but still, in terms of revenue, we have managed to come so far. But yeah, we don't spend on players. That is a different thing. But yeah, and we are also jealous. I would love Enoch to go from my club. Seriously, I would love it. Because if they go, some billionaire will come and inject some money. Like, your clubs, the money is being injected.
Not for my club, I would say.
But for Arsenal and Man U, the money is being they're sucking the money.
Exactly.
And that's why I think so they won't sell. Because if you're Kroenke and you're Spotify owner who's
2 billion, how can
he afford like a 4 billion Arsenal?
Yes, I mean, agreed there.
And okay, fine. You Arsenal fans buy Spotify Premium, and I also bought it 2 days back for some reason. I don't know why. And now I'm regretting it. Like, after that, when I saw that news, I was like, I need to cancel it. I want my money back. But yeah, the value of these clubs are so much now that it's impossible for someone normal to come and buy them. You have to be a massive, massive, massive giant, and there are very few massive giants.
Yes.
And even if as an Arsenal fan, like I'm not an Arsenal fan, but as
I'll say that
Arsenal fans won't want. I don't know if they'll want, but the few local guys who are there, they. Like, these people believe that if I say, like, Spurs, some Qatari guy should buy, like, they'll say that the essence of the club will be sucked out.
Maybe.
Like, the essence, but I don't understand what essence is there, like for us, but for Arsenal also, the essence of this, that will be sucked out, and it will be money on only football then. And I love Arsenal like this, so I trust the process. I back Arteta all the time. And Aubameyang, Lacazette, God grace them, and they remain front three of Arsenal for years to come.
I sense a very strong sarcasm.
And last season, I remember when Willian used to play for Chelsea, and Chelsea fans used to bash Willian, literally bash. I used to say, why are you bashing Willian? Like, he's not the only one at fault. But now I understand why you used to bash him. Fine, I guess. I guess transfer news, any transfer news you have?
I don't think there's any huge transfer news, because everyone's focused on the title race more than the transfer news. Just that Jadon Sancho has been quoted for 90 million by Dortmund. That is the latest I know.
Yeah, and Chelsea, I have heard that you are going for a striker.
I have no words to tell, but yeah, sure. I guess we will.
Like, what piece in your team is currently missing? I don't understand. Like, maybe you need a Thiago Silva replacement soon.
Yeah, but, that we are bidding actually for Rafael Varane for 60 million.
But you haven't tried Malang Sarr yet. So, I don't know how. Like, you have to try him at least and give him some game time. Then you can say, Rafael Varane, I don't think so. Like, he's a Man City guy for me.
Oh, all right. I get it, maybe.
Because, like, to break this Man City domination, you have to, all the clubs have to gather together. And I'm not even joking here. Like, seriously, this has to break. You are just, like, one club is just injecting a lot of money. And we are just watching them injecting. And we are just destroying, like, we are just destroying ourselves.
Yeah, I have to...
Like, next season, if you ask me, I would rather have Chelsea win the title rather than Man City. Seriously. Because this the gap is becoming so huge. Like even the this season, Man United are second, but they're not in a title race.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, with that being said, I guess it's time to wrap up.
Yes, I guess so. We covered everything, I think.
Yeah. So, thank you, Shiv Charan.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Peace out and bye-bye. Thank you, bro.